The Alpha Sessions.
Hi guys, this is Alpha Sessions. I'm Gigi Harland and today I am in the studio with Ella Clayton.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Great to see you. I might as well start off by saying you have one of the most magical voices I've heard in such a long time.
Thank you.
I have to say, I was not familiar with your work until it came to do this session. And you have a voice that is similar. I feel the same way about your voice as I do about somebody like Justin Vernon.
Oh, wow.
From Bon Iver, for those of you that don't know, which is that you could be singing in a language that I did not speak and I already know how I feel about whatever you're saying. It's the way that you emote the texture in your voice and the sonics of it. It's like, it's really special.
That's so lovely.
I just want to start off by saying
thank
that.
You I was listening to Bon Iver this morning. Bon Iver, Bon Iver.
Yeah,
it's always there. It's always the
debate.
Yeah, no, I meant to say Bon Iver because you'd said it and then it always slips out and then I'm like, whoa.
I kind of go for a question, middle, like Bon Iver.
Bon Iver. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's very kind. I know what you mean about his voice and artists like that, so I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
He's magical. When I listen to your music, I kind of get overtones of like kind of folk heroes like Laura Marling and a little bit of like Nick Drake, definitely Joni Mitchell, especially when you go up to your falsetto range and you get your vibrato in there. Bit of Jeff Buckley maybe as well.
These are all heroes of mine.
Yeah.
So.
Did you grow up listening to that kind of music? Was it in the house? Did your family play it, or were you just like a maverick who just listened to the opposite of everybody else?
No, I was definitely like lucky to grow up in a music loving environment. And my dad and my mum, but particularly my dad, was like very much into rock and country and like the sort of, I don't think he listened to much like beyond 1975. Like, I think he was like, you know, that's my, and he's sort of expanded a little bit now, but so yeah, I grew up on Joni Mitchell, Nick Drake and John Martin. And my mum, again, they're both like a little bit mixed, but I'd say my mum is definitely more in the sort of soul singer category, and so like she showed me like Aretha Franklin, Donny Hathaway, just like serious singers, and and we'd sort of play. My dad plays guitar and my mum sings, and we'd sit around and harmonise and.
You got the happy marriage of the two.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a way of summarising it. Things are always messier than like. Fit into an anecdote, but that is definitely like an easy way of understanding it in my mind.
Yeah, for sure. Was writing something that you fell into quite young, or did you very much take the playing of the guitar first, like, or did they both kind of happen together in the weird tangled way that these things do?
Writing has always been a compulsion. I have like notebooks and little diaries and sort of stories and things like that that I've been writing like all since I could write. I used to write this thing called like the Clayton Chronicles.
Ooh.
And it would be like news stories that I'd make up, and I'd put pictures of my like poor little brother in it and be like Jude was murdered and or whoever, I don't know, but and make up these like really sort of quite dark news stories sometimes.
Shout out to Jude for things.
We actually know someone called Jude, and I don't know where that name came to my head, but
that's amazing. So you obviously have this like impulse to tell stories
to
from
write,
quite a long,
so
quite far back.
That was there first, and then music. I learned guitar at 13, and I always sang throughout my childhood, but yeah, I don't know like when there was I remember when like when I was a child, me and my cousin wrote a song for our nana who'd passed away, and it was about like an angel being, you know, so there was always like this sort of feeling of like it was just sort of something that came really naturally and easily. And then when I grew up, I got a little bit more shy, and it became like a sort of secret private thing that I did, that I'd share with, you know, like very select few.
And
it was this sort of private world that I had. And once the bigger feelings, bigger emotions sort of came, it became kind of like a very necessary thing. Of understanding my own emotions and the world around me, but also like expressing myself in different ways.
So, still getting the same release out of it. I feel like sometimes it's like it's really natural to go through that period where you do kind of draw inward slightly, because I guess at that age, when you're a teenager, you're still learning how to understand like your own inner landscape. I mean, I don't know whether that process like ever ends, to be honest, but you know, you just generally become incredibly like self-aware of like how you're being perceived and things. I don't know, did you find it was that, or did you find it was just a bit more of a personal journey that you wanted to go on just through your own sense of adventure more than anyone else knowing about it?
As a teenager, it was definitely like not wanting to be seen to care about anything, and it being a classic teenage British, maybe especially teenage move of just being like, no, I don't care, singing,
It's like a defense mechanism almost.
And it was really something that I was like completely obsessed with, and that carried on until like early 20s. I definitely decided to like start showing more. But thinking about it now, I definitely go into those. Into a sort of a more private state, like writing at least initially my songs for my own project is always quite a private experience, and it's always quite a solitary one.
I was going to say, do you write by yourself, or do you work in the studio with a producer to co-write everything, or how does it kind of work for
I
you?
Love collaborating with people, and the songs, the instrumentation, all of that is 100% a collaboration. Like, I write songs on guitar, so there are chords and sort of harmonies within it, and I might have an idea of what I want the drums to sound like or things like this, but I'm so like blessed to work with the musicians that I have worked with, and they know so much more about their craft, you know, and it's a real joy. It's one of the best parts for me about making music is the part where like we come into the studio and the bass player might be like, oh, what about this? There's like a bass part, and then the guitarist like Alex riffs off that, and you know, and then like Fab the drummer's like, you know, and it's like, whoa, I could never have conceived this myself.
But it feels true to you, though.
Feels true to me, yeah. And you've got to have that trust there and the taste.
Did you ever find that difficult? Like, is kind of, did you always know what you wanted your music to sound like? Has that always been a direct channel, or do you ever find like sometimes when you get in and I guess maybe that's part of the point about being such a solitary experience before you get in the studio, because you've really had chance to let this fragile thing, which it is to begin with, take shape. And when it's got a bit more flesh on its bones, then you let someone else hold it.
Yeah. I think I've definitely that. I think it's like when I've been in writing situations with other people, it's really different if it's for, say, like I'm working at the moment on like a dance track that this guy called Scott Dejecta is his artist name, you know, has already come up with, and then we're sat in the studio, and in that situation, no problem. Like, I can literally just like sit there and be like, oh yeah, blah, 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 like how about these words, and it doesn't matter if it like is a bit shit, and then you work through it or whatever. Like for my own, when it's about my own experiences, or like I need it to sort of be that sort of like protect it for as long as possible, and then
makes sense. You're so close to it. Yeah. It's like a different. I feel like when you're writing with other people and for yourself, it's like the same brain but two different modes that you kind of go into. And
I have had it with other people on this next project. I had just like a really casual session with another songwriter, and it just worked. I don't know what it was something to do with her for sure, and like her approach to songwriting. She's called Ella Honan Ford, and we like co-wrote she like helped me write this bridge, and it like changed the song so much in a positive way. In terms of like getting into the studio and the sound slipping away, I think I've just been really blessed to work with Lester, who produced my first album, and this one that I've just been working on this last year. And like a lot of the conversations we had at the beginning was just like about the music we liked and playing each other things and just understanding each other's taste and developing a trust with that. I definitely have had situations where like you're in the studio and you kind of feel things like slipping out of your control, or like,
what do you do in that situation? Like, do you have any go-tos that kind of sort you out in that situation, or do you just kind of feel it out?
Do you just kind of feel it out? I think it's definitely like the older I get, the more experience I have, and the more confidence I have in my own abilities, it's like the easier I find it to sort of say, oh, I actually don't like this. Mm. When I was younger, I definitely, it would be a case of like, I don't know, like maybe saying something, but maybe also just like, you know, needing to sort of like finish the session and like leave and then think about it and then be like, actually, but that's more annoying for the producer as well, you know. It's like it's more,
you get further along,
it's way better
it,
to
yeah.
be like real in the moment, but that's it's kind of hard to do. I think like the really nice realization that I've had and continuing to have is that like no one else is gonna like do the thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm.
this ship needs a captain. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like you, and yeah. it, and it's got to be you. Like you know. And I think there's like, it's just like a sort of maturing thing that happens. And I'm definitely not there yet. I have to sort of like work on it all the time.
Yeah. But I feel like that lens is that you see things through, which is totally unique to you, will always be changing. And I guess like part of the process of being an artist is just like, just tracking how that lens is changing and then just reflecting back what you see, I guess.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, the first song that you're going to play for us is called As You Are. This is As You Are by Ella Clayton.
You wearing those jeans by the market store, you had a handle on it all, mine. I know they let you dye your hair that color to let all the others shine and come as you are and stay a while. We can be loud or stay real quiet. And in unfamiliar faces out on the street, and there you are. And can you see? I feel like I've been sleeping, now I'm wide awake. You hear my heart beating, feel my body shake, and there you are.
The Alpha Sessions. Thank you so much for playing that gorgeous track. Do you want to talk us just through a little kernel of the inspiration for that song and where it came from? How did it land?
Yeah. It was inspired by sort of spotting one of my mates, my really close friends, out and about before she'd seen that I'd seen her.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit creepy, but it's not.
No,
it's
like, not at all.
Just the sort of surrealness of that, of being like, I know you so well, but like, there you are out in the wild. And it's a friendship love song, basically. And it's just about, you know, the sort of hook is like, come as you are and stay a while. And it's like, you know, just the joy of loving someone as a friend. It sounds so cheesy, but it's like really under,
we embrace, like, I fully embrace like any sort of cringe, just so you know. I don't think there is such a thing as cringe. Like, just do you.
But I'm like, love your friends, but, but like, that literally is it. It's like, you know, I write a lot about romantic love, and it is obviously really important, and
sometimes some of your friendships are some of the greatest romances that have in your
life. I really believe that.
Because you go through a whole different set of experiences, I feel like, especially if it's a long-term friendship.
Yeah.
Like the line, like, you ever get the feeling you're, like, meant to meet, like, beyond familiar faces on the street? Like, I was listening to that and it kind of just made me think of meeting someone as they are, where they are.
Yeah.
And for better or worse, you feel like, you know, you're kind of like aligned for a reason, and that regardless of what happens, you're happy that you've met. And that's great, because it can apply to so many different situations. It can apply to like a person. It could apply to like a situation that you're in and you don't know how it's going to end. Like,
that's so lovely that you,
There's a lot of ways to read it, I feel like.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's a really gorgeous, gorgeous track.
Thank you.
You've been playing some shows around London.
Yeah.
You have one coming up on April the 18th at the Lower Third. That is a headline show.
It's a headline show.
Amazing. And you played your first LA show last year.
Yeah.
Talk me through how that came about.
It came about through me just like harassing people on emails. I was like, hey.
Where did you play? What was the venue?
The Mint. The Mint was where I played, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. So did you go to LA? Did you do any sessions while you were out there? Was it just a fun trip and then you managed to, you tacked a gig into that? Like, what was the intention?
The intention was to make it as, sort of music-focused as possible. I didn't get to do any writing sessions, but again, like, I think I was, like, a little bit hesitant setting up them, and I was thinking, like, maybe I should have. And it's like, do you actually enjoy writing sessions? But anyway, maybe another trip. That'd be cool. But this time it was very live focused. And I did some radio things. I did like a Venice Beach radio and something in Memphis blues. Yeah.
Did you just send them your music and then the producers of the show, like, we're happy to have you on?
It was sort of like my partner was doing the Memphis one, and so partly through him, because he spent some time in the States before. And then, with the venues, it was, I got an email from, a lot of the time it's just like you get a
random
a contact. And I'm quite, I don't mind the hustle. I quite like
it. That's good.
And I was just like, hello, you know, I'll play for free, I'll play solo, I'll play with a band, whatever you like.
Amazing.
And I just want to play. And the Mint was great. And then I booked like another one at the Hotel Cafe. This was like a last minute, because like I followed them on Instagram as well, and we'd had a few email exchanges.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you're not based in LA. Okay, well, maybe not, because we want someone that can bring loads of people in.
Sure.
And I was like, cool, all right, fair enough. And then there was a dropout and I saw on Instagram, like, looking for someone for the Saturday last minute fill. And I was like, hey, remember me?
Circling back.
Yeah.
And how did you find the shows there? Like, what was the vibe like?
Because I imagine cool.
it's different great sound. In London, like the audience feel or?
I don't know. I don't know if it was that different in terms of audience feel. Like, it's familiar in London.
Yeah, sure.
So it felt bigger there because it was like, ah. But, you know, I'm still definitely, like, putting roots down in places. There's nothing like a home crowd.
Yeah, for sure. Nothing like the mates in the front row.
It was really cool to be out there and to try different things. To have played, you know, was a great thing, and I'm excited to go back and spend more time in the States. But yeah, it was.
Yeah, sounds like such an experience as well, just to like travel and play.
It was.
Music.
We got a van. Yeah, driving around in a van.
You did the thing. You did this like Daisy Jones and the Six. Like
I haven't seen that, but yeah, I know.
So good, okay. So good. What are your favorite venues to play in London? Like, if someone was coming to London to watch a show, where should they go?
I haven't played here, but I went to see a band at the Jazz Cafe in Camden on Saturday night, and I was just like, God, this is a great venue. Like, you can see the stage from everywhere, and it's got the balcony, and the sound had a few issues at the beginning, but it was pretty good by the end. The lower third, when playing, has amazing sound, and usually some really cool people playing. In terms of where I've played, I think, like, dream venue is, like, Union Chapel.
Oh yeah, gorgeous.
I played there as like a supporting someone, and it was like completely surreal.
It's really dreamy, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
I would
ethereal.
Love to play there. I love churches, basically. Like the sound in churches is always cool.
Yeah, gorgeous. Nice. So those are the places people should look out for if they're coming to London for
music. Yeah, I mean, there's loads. So you should support the grassroots venues.
Yeah, we're we're really spoiled for choice, to be honest.
Which I haven't really mentioned any of the grassroots ones, but the George, Spiritual Bar. There's loads
Spiritual Bar, I play that too, those are good places. The second track you're going to play for us is Tell Me Something.
Yeah.
Would you like to say anything about this song before we dive in?
Tell Me Something. I mean, it's a song... written from a place, from the point of view of like someone looking for guidance in life, and I think that's sort of related to what we were talking about earlier with, like, you know, like growing into your confidence, and a lot of this record, so this new project I've been working on is exploring that and exploring how it feels to not know where you're going and be looking for sort of something outside of yourself.
Mm.
Or someone outside of yourself to tell you
mm-hmm.
what the right thing to do is, and actually that doesn't.
No, that sounds. Come. I think that's something that everyone on one level or another can relate to.
Yeah,
amazing. So without further ado, this is "Tell Me Something" by Ella Clayton.
What are you gonna do? The Alpha Sessions.
Oh, it's just spine-tingling stuff. Honestly, that was Tell Me Something by Ella Clayton.
Thank you.
In terms of your writing, is there a direction that you're seeing your new material going? I know you mentioned you're working on an album mm-hmm. release at the moment. So what's the process been for, are there kind of threads that are starting to come together with the songwriting or the sonics, or what's the, paint me the picture.
In terms of like how we recorded the record and things, and
the story, yeah.
Well, the songs have sort of been accumulating, and then I was recording them in London with different producers, and I still may well release some of those versions, but it just didn't feel like a sort of unified project, like right. an album. So I spoke with Lester, who produced the first record, and we decided to do it properly, like 3 days, well, or more. At the beginning we wanted more, then basically we got offered some studio time, and it was 3 days, so we did 12 songs in 3 days.
What studio is this at?
It's called Hotel Quebec. Cool. It's in Hartford. It's nice. Like George Ezra's studio.
No way.
Yeah. No, it was great, and he was really generous and lent it to us, basically, for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, 12 songs, 3 days. I only cried once.
That is like trying to swim the channel in one breath. That's like writing a novel in a week.
But it was incredible. It was such an amazing experience. We stayed in an Airbnb like down the road, and Hartford's not exactly like rural, you know. I was looking at places like the Giant Wafer in Wales and like all of these kinds of things, because I wanted to just like get out of London and go away. But it still was like, you know, it's far more like peaceful and nature vibes.
You can hear yourself think a little bit more.
And we were sort of out, or me and the people that are based in London were like out of that, like, you know, familiarity kind of thing. It's like, okay, new place. We were in the studio from the morning till like 11 at night. It was great.
And sometimes having that quiet can really kind of strip away the sort of extraneous layers of, it kind of strips away like your comfort zone as well as
exactly
the noise. And then you can really, I feel
you
like
just stay in the headset.
You're not like having to go out of the kind of
get the
bubble
home.
Or seeing like buses and drunk people or whatever, but like, I mean, sometimes that feeds a certain type of record, but like
definitely but I was quite keen to like go away and just spend, rather than doing it sort of like half a day here, a day here, as it had been, just like getting it done in like having all of us play live in the same room recording it. Mm. It definitely didn't make it easy for Lester, who mixed it. But
yeah. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so that was like the bulk of it, of the recording process. But then G-Lo, my amazing cellist and dear friend, arranged some strings, and we recorded them in the Crypt studio in Crouch End. I think that was in July.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put together like a choir of my mates.
Oh, nice.
And we recorded them in the studio in Camden.
Mates BVs.
August, yeah, Mates BVs.
Awesome.
And then the guitarist has done a few things from like remotely from his bedroom, and my producer Lester has been adding like keys and organs and different things, so like lots of different parts have been added since those 2 days, but it's the sort of skeleton of the album.
It's lovely to hear somebody talking about making a record, as in you are making a record of an event, and that event is all these people playing music in a room together.
Yeah,
I feel like, it sounds really cliche to say it, but I think it's cliche for a reason. Like, you just can't, I don't know, there is something quite unique that happens.
Definitely.
That you can't replicate being, I'm doing my own thing on my own at the moment. So
yeah,
I'm
but
like,
that's
I'm being
also
a proper
amazing.
Hermit.
Yeah.
I'm in your solitary bit at the moment.
Yeah,
but like, it is so special, I think, when you hear like this unique, I mean, there's a reason like these huge records like Rumours are like as huge as they are, because that is like the alchemical process of people like bouncing off each other.
Yeah.
So and nice just, to hear.
Oh, I think, yeah, no, it was amazing to be in. And as I said earlier, like the kinds of stuff that comes out of that collaboration, like, I could never have done or imagined on my own. And like the talent of the musicians that were, you know, in that room, it's just like, okay, do your thing.
You bring your magic to it. Amazing. Well, your final track that you're going to play for us is called Could It Be You?
Could Be You.
And I can't wait for you guys to hear this one. So this is Ella Clayton with Could It Be You?
We caught an early movie at the Ritzy on a Tuesday, and you smiled like you knew me, though we'd barely met before. And I led you to our velvet seats, clambering over folded knees. When you gave my thigh a squeeze, oh no, there's popcorn on the floor. Oh, could it be you? Oh, could it be you? Yeah. As the lights were turning low, you looked at me, said I should know. This man will cry although he's grown. Oh, I'd heard it all before. And sleep extends a shadowed hand, life will laugh at best laid plans, and it all depends on circumstance, yeah, that I would have known. Oh, could it be you? Could it be you?
meet again. I'm glad we made it out, my friend. 'Cause if the world's about to end, oh, at least we know we tried. Oh, could it be you? Oh, could it be you? And could it be you? Oh, could it be you?
The Alpha Sessions.
Oh, I'm just so busy having my spine tingled. That was Ella Clayton and Could It Be You. What was the inspiration behind that song? Because I have my own interpretation, but I want to hear... No, I want to hear yours first.
Okay. It was a bad date. I went on a date. I was dating a lot at the time, and I went on a date to the cinema, which is just always a bad move.
There you go.
I think the Ritzy in Brixton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
He wasn't a bad guy. It was just like total mismatch. And I just remember that feeling of like, but could you be my person? Like, even though like all the signs are like, no.
It's so interesting because Alice, who was on the session before you, has a song which is in such a similar vein. And it's like, I think the propensity that so many people have of like seeing a person or maybe like just starting to get to know them, and then you've already like imagined a whole like future before you even get to know them, and then you kind of get to the end of it and realize like, oh yeah, the hangover from that is like really real. But there's a really gorgeous kind of little bit of humor in there when it's just like you're talking about the thigh squeeze and then the popcorn ending up on the floor. It's just like I cracked a little smile.
Oh, good.
Listening to that.
Good.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I play it live, I'm like, oh, could it be you? And it wasn't. Depending on the crowd, sometimes that gets a really good laugh.
You could just get your mates' BVs. Just going, it wasn't.
The
back, like a choir of angels, ominous angels. Yeah, it's a gorgeous song.
Thank you. It is the title track of the album. And it's like morphed into just like more broadly, like, could it be you to like see me and love me? And like, could it be you to like take a chance on my music and support my art, and that sort of constant searching outside of oneself, myself, maybe, you know.
Yeah, that was my instant read of it when I heard it first. I thought it was kind of that kind of spellbinding moment where you kind of meet someone and you feel kind of that something's happening, there's like a connection, and then your brain runs away with like the fantasy of it.
But yeah.
I didn't quite land on bad date, but like, there you go. Yeah. Why not? Where can we see you if anyone wants to come and see you, which I'm sure they will after
18th of April,
Lower
Third. That's the big one, Lower Third.
Headline show. Do you have a support for that? Or?
Not announced yet, but very soon. Full band. That's the one I'm pushing. It's my biggest headline that I've ever done.
Oh.
And I'm really excited and quite nervous.
So exciting. And then
the tickets are going pretty well. So I'd,
grab them up. Get them while the getting is good. Yeah. And for the album, do you have an idea of when we will be hearing that?
This year. It's like I keep saying different things and then changing it, so I'm trying to avoid like giving specifics. And I'm also not sure, there's so many like different ways to release it. I might do like a waterfall staggered chaptered thing,
release a few songs and then
might sort of accumulate into an album, or I might just do an album. I don't know. I'm independent, so all these things are
in the options
for me. So I've just got to sit with it for a minute and but it's basically finished, so
exciting times.
Yeah, exciting, very exciting times.
And if we want to find you online, it's just Ella Clayton everywhere.
Yeah.
Instagram, TikTok.
Instagram's got three L's because I did that when I set up the profile.
Three L's in the Ella.
Three L's in the Ella.
Okay.
TikTok's Ella Clayton Band. And yeah, website. My website's ellaclayton.com.
Awesome stuff.
That was just straight, yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been lovely to have you.
It's been really nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
The Alpha Sessions.